All right, welcome into another episode of Candid Coaches Conversations. We got a great show for you this week. We're going to touch on HBCUs, historically black coaches in universities. And we got a great, great panel for you here today of some of the best assistants in the HBCUs. We've got my partner in crime, Charlton Young from Florida State, otherwise known as CY. And we have Sean Woods, one of the few, the very few coaches that has been able to get a job from a head job from an HBCU out of the HBCU. So let's kind of get to it here and talk about the major issue at hand, which is why HBCUs don't get more respect. For me, you know, that ultimately that's what it comes down to, right? More than anything, you know, the numbers are ridiculous. Since 2013, only two head coaches have gotten jobs from HBCUs. One of them was white this year, Ryan Ritter. So just one black head coach, Mike Davis, who happened to go to a national title game years ago at Indiana. I mean, think of this. Sean Woods, you're one of five coaches to get a job from an HBCU since 2012. The other one, John Cooper, Anthony Evans. So Sean Cooper went Tennessee State to Miami of Ohio. Anthony Evans went Norfolk State to FIU. And then obviously Mike Davis went to Detroit from Texas Southern. And this year, Ryan Ritter went Bethune-Cookman, and they didn't play, to Texas, UT Martin. And Sean, we know you went to Mississippi Valley State to Morehead State in 2012, and you're back at Southern now. All right, so let's start with you, Sean. You've been in this league. You got out of this league. You're now back in this league or with HBCUs. What do you think the perception is of HBCU basketball?
Well, I think because of, you know, the now it's starting to take, get some momentum because of the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, a couple guys that has stints in the NBA have joined our league, which is the SWAC. And we've been able to, you know, to do a couple good things, especially when Mike was here in the SWAC. They won a couple games in the NCAA tournament. But the history of HBCUs is unfortunate, because every coach in America complains about something. And I think it's one of the most intriguing leagues in college basketball. Me, myself, you know, we may not have the resources, you know, financially, and that's the biggest thing that HBCUs get hit with is financial resources. But I think all HBCUs now are really making a significant charge, especially from these universities, as far as doing much better jobs from facilities. The academic situation has always been there. It's just the image. And now we have a new commissioner, especially in our league, which is Charles McClellan. He's really making a stand and getting us publicity, especially from a national standpoint. And we're playing more national games on ESPN and ESPNU than we've ever had. And more so than any other, you know, any other low mid major league that I can think of right now. And I think it's heading in that right direction to where it's not about being all black anymore, because there is some significant change in that too. I think now with the coaches that these schools are hiring is going to start to give HBCU, especially basketball, more credibility.
So how do we continue? And maybe it's a question, Sean, like for you too, as media people and white media people, what do we do? How can we help HBCUs? Obviously, we saw kind of a push, right? McCurr Maker commits to Howard, and everybody blows that up. That was an easy one. He's a highly touted player. So that was an easy one. That's not going to happen every year. Let's be honest. How can we continue and sustain momentum to give you guys more exposure, credibility, whatever it is?
Jeff, I'm gonna come right at you with it. Come to our games.
Yeah.
It starts with that. See, you know, everybody that they don't come to our games, they don't see the atmosphere and to appreciate it. You know, you see it from afar and you go by what you hear. I think you guys need to come and experience it. Come to, you know, not just on game day. Come when it's just a normal day. Watch practice. Watch, you know, how things go. And get an intimate feel about it. Then you will, per se, have a better appreciation and be like, hey, this is no different than nothing else. Or you may appreciate the difference from an HBCU standpoint to where you want to get it out there because you can't tell the story unless you come in with us and hang out with a guy like me and say, hey, I hung out with Sean Woods at Southern University. Boom. Now you got a story to tell because of your credibility. Now people will listen. Well, man, well, shit, if Jeff Goodman says it's sexy to go to Southern University or Texas Southern or whatever, you know, because everybody wants to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? You and guys like you, you give the check mark. You give the okay. You know what I mean? When you say something, people listen and give it merit. Well, come hang out with me. Come hang out with us. And then you'll be able to tell the story, which will give us more merit and give us more credibility, if you understand what I'm saying.
100%.
And we got an even bigger problem, and I'm going to take it a step further. I'm honored to be on the call with you guys. I'm honored that this is the first time we've had a successful group of African-American historical Black college coaches on a national deal talking about basketball. Number one, last week, the reason we're doing this show, we had Turnkey Search Firm, who we have a tremendous amount of respect for, who is very, very good, has been good to assistant coaches, and has been good to minority coaches. But they made a couple comments that, you know, I didn't agree with, that black college coaches don't market themselves, that they're not out. I want to clear that up right from the beginning of this show. I've been in the profession 26 years. I've seen the best of the best in HBCU basketball coaches. Fang at Coppin, Ty Bozeman at Morgan, Cy Alexander. I mean, it's been some really, really good coaches. And all of these guys work their butts off, and they're really, really good. But I'm glad what happened last week happened because we needed to address the elephant in the room as a profession. And Sean, you can attest to this, because you're from the 1900s like I am. We first got to change the perception of HBCU basketball within our own coaching community. Because here's the truth, and we need to address the elephant in the room. If a young man gets a job at Florida Gulf Coast, Wofford, or College of Charleston, the perception is he's on his way up. If he gets a job at HBCU, the perception is he's stuck. That's what we got to attack, not with the media, Sean, amongst our own coaching community. And then you can build out, because I got Reggie Sharp on this call, who I coached at Auburn, who should be a Division I head coach. I got Willie Powers at Florida A&M, who was my point guard at Georgia Southern, who should be the next head coach at Georgia Southern. But a lot of people don't want to hire guys when they got HBCU on their resume. And that's what has to change.
Because
we got to address it. Somebody jumping in.
Daryl Sharp. Part of the problem, in my opinion, is when you're at HBCU, you don't win the press conference for the AD. So we all know at the end of the day, ADs want to win the press conference with the hire. So if you can't win that press conference because there's a perception of HBCUs that we don't coach, or we don't have the structure, we don't have the same schedule, and I don't know why that perception is out there. We don't get the exposure that we should get. For example, Hampton University goes to the Big South. Everyone says to me, the first summer I'm on the road, well, the perception will change now that you're at you're at Hampton, but you're in the Big South. Jeff, the perception has not changed. The second year, we were fortunate enough to go to the championship game against Winthrop, conference tournament.
Yep.
In the second year of the conference. Perception hasn't changed. I bet I'll pick up a basketball magazine this fall, and I'll go to the HBCU section when I was in the MEAC, and there'll be teams that have names of players that haven't played for a year in the back section. MEAC schools. So when I see that media people don't even know the players for some of the teams the next season, there's just no understanding of what's going on.
No, I think that, excuse me, Jeff and CY, I think this conversation right now is a great start. This is the beginning of something that's bigger than anything we all can possibly imagine one day. You know, the opportunity to have us here, to give us this national platform, to be able to speak to the world and let us know that we are intelligent men. We are people that work extremely hard. The same hours that CY may put in that Florida State, I put in that Norfolk State. I work as hard as anybody in. And I can honestly say that I don't care what level you're on, I think I'm as smart as anybody that I go against on a daily basis. You know, Darryl's talking about perception. You know, last year we beat two Big South schools. We beat the Atlantic 10 school. We beat a Colonial level school. You can't tell me the man that I work for every day can't coach against anybody. You just can't tell me that. And have me not believe that I'm working for one of the best coaches, not only in HBCU, but in mid-major basketball. You know, then we talk about the financial side of it that Coach Walker was talking about. You know, too often we try to compare ourselves and we say that HBCU don't have any money. Well, the reality is we got as much money as Radford. We have as much money as Longwood. We may not have as much money as Virginia or ODU, but Longwood doesn't have as much money as Virginia or ODU as well. But then again, it's a perception that we're lacking. We have a beautiful facility. We have a beautiful campus. And we have guys that come from high levels. And so I just think that if we can continue to put the message out there in print and in media, then we'll do a great job of dispelling the perception that's out there.
Jamal, that's well said. But again, we got to make sure we change this perception within the coaching
community
and build out. Because the perception is worse when I call for a young man that's coaching at Florida A&M and say he should be hired at this school. And they see HBCU on the resume and they say, ah.
Let's see what I can also say this. And like you said, we go from the 1900s. One of the things that I think that we had that's no longer in existence is the BCA. When we had other high to mid-major head black coaches that were there that you can have an opportunity for a weekend to get to know and have a conversation with, and then they knew you on a different level. Think about the relationships that were able to be established in that weekend that we always went to every year in Indianapolis that a lot of these guys maybe on the Zoom haven't had an opportunity to experience.
Why not? Easy question. Why isn't the BCA doing anything?
I think that the financial side and there wasn't enough support. Not only just from college coaches, but also from high school coaches.
Another part with Big John, John Thompson, Chaney, those guys were the driving
force. Nolan Richardson.
Yeah, those guys were the driving force. And we were young Thundercats at the time. Sean Woods used to be there with us. This pre-internet now. I was beating Sean. Meet me at the meet. That's how long.
You're right. You're right.
Coach Reggie Sharp, go ahead.
Yeah, thank both of y'all for having us on the show. And it's a big deal for us in HBCU basketball. But one of my biggest pet peeves, and I think one of the biggest issues with the perception is that we're all put in a box as far as HBCU coaches. If I say Sean Woods is one of the best HBCU coaches in the country, or Lavelle Moe, or Robert Jones, I don't say that two of the three of the best HBCU coaches. I say they are three of the best coaches in the country. When a kid want to go to North Carolina Central, I don't say North Carolina Central University is one of the best HBCUs in the country. I say North Carolina Central is one of the best universities in the country. So when you put us in a box, you exclude me from all the other PWI universities in the country. What makes me different than them? And you all doing a great job getting us on the podcast, but and I don't want to say an issue because I want to make sure y'all know me. See why me and you talk every day. But you have a lot of other podcasts too. Why are we on the HBCU network? I feel like I can talk to VCU. I feel like if Auburn is there, I feel like if Florida State is there, I can talk to any forum about basketball in the business of college basketball.
It don't have. We have, listen, one thing that Siwan and I have tried to do is we have had other HBCU assistant coaches in the other podcasts we've done, and we're going to continue to do that. Obviously, this one, we wanted to be devoted solely to HBCUs from people other than CY and me and Rob that have coached in it, that can talk about it, that know it, that live it. You know what I mean? Like, but we're going to continue to have and try to make sure people understand that it's not everybody else and you guys. And
that's how it feels to us a lot of the time. It's everybody else. But when the conversation gets too big for us, then let's talk to these guys. But I feel like I'm sure like the rest of you guys in this room, we can talk about basketball with anybody in the country. I know I can. I know I can talk about the business of basketball with anybody in the country. So it's indirectly disrespectful to say, all right, let's get all the HBCU guys because they're good in their lane. But when it's time to get to the other lane, are they really that good or are they good in their own lane? I think all these guys, all these head coaches winning games can coach anywhere in the country. And they don't have to be singled out to say their HBCU coaches are great in that realm. I think they're good in college basketball in general. So I think if we can change that narrative, and this helps, and thank you, I'm not getting on to you and who you have on your show, but I just think that mentality will help everybody moving forward to say, look, these are HBCU coaches only, and we love our HBCUs, but I'm a basketball coach. So don't talk to me about being, oh, those are HBCU coaches. No, we are basketball coaches in the NCAA, and we demand the same respect that everybody else has. So I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves about this whole situation.
And Reggie Darrell Sharp from Hampton. Jeff?
Another thing I wanted to say was it just seems like as an HBCU coach, we're not relevant in the conversation until we make the NCAA. Once we make the NCAA, then we become relevant with the field of 68. Until then, we are kept in a place with other HBCUs. Yeah. So I don't know how we change that.
You want to know? You know, I think that's a great thing. You know what it starts with? It starts with our own. It ain't just us coaches. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the major perception of where we are and who we're dealing with. So, for example, it starts with the whole SWAC mentality, the whole MEAC mentality. You know, sometimes, you know, there are things that we're perceived to be something and we don't even know why we're being perceived as that. You know, I'm not an HBCU guy. I'm a basketball coach. I just happen to coach at Mississippi Valley and happen to coach at Southern University. But when I first got to Mississippi Valley, I was an outcast. You know, and I was like, I wasn't one of them. Right. And I was supposed to be different. No, I'm a basketball coach. I'm just like y'all. I'm just in a realm to compete in a league that happened to be called the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Just because I didn't go to a SWAC school or I don't have SWAC ties doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? But we got to get out of there too. Sometimes we hurt ourselves with our own mentality. And Jeff, sometimes, you know, everybody learns from somebody. And Reggie's right. You know, we are put in a box. That's why now, Jeff, you're doing I commend you because this is an opportunity for people that's on this panel and not just the assistant coaches in our league, but head coaches in our league who wants to move on and get bigger and better head jobs. You know, we do need a platform. You know, we do need to stop saying a HBCU coach and just say Sean Woods has done a good enough job to be the coach at X, Y, and Z or whoever else in our league. You know what I'm saying? Johnny Jones is not a SWAC guy. Johnny Jones is an SEC guy just like me. You know, Mike Davis won the SEC guy. Roman Banks won the SEC guy. You know, but then when you go to that level, you get tarnished or you get a stamp saying that you're an HBCU coach. Ain't none of us HBCU. We come from the cream of the crop as far as how we're raised. So, Sean,
I got to say this. Robert Jones, Norfolk State, I watched him in the NCAA tournament.
And he's good. And he's really good.
Big time coach. Lavelle Moat.
Really good.
Big time coach. Robert McCullough here at Florida A&M.
Really good.
Big time coach. But before these guys, there was Todd Bozeman at Morgan State.
And Todd really good. Who and wasn't a sweat. You know what I'm saying? I get what you're saying.
Todd Bozeman was beating high majors.
Everybody. Yes. Everybody.
And no, and yes. See, that and so I'm asking the question. Two of the best days of my life was watching Ben Joe beat Georgia Tech. And Ben Joe was a mentor of mine. I love him. I miss him every day. And watching Fang beat South Carolina, two of the best days of my life. My question to the guys on the call, us starting from the inside, is it an issue with the sports information departments at our respected HBC universities?
Like, we got to do better, CY. And that's
I'm asking. I don't know that. Go ahead.
We have to do better to help ourselves. That's what I mean by we do have to do a better job to help ourselves. You know what I mean? But in on hindsight of that, we got to get out of that image of doing that. You know what I mean? But every big time coach is a big time promoter. I don't care what nobody says. You know, everybody has to become Muhammad Ali, some form of fashion to get to where you're trying to get to. But right now, me, Sean Woods, who has a great relationship with Jeff Goodman, you know, and you see why you and Jeff put this thing together. I am saying this as a head coach. This is where it starts. Everything needs credibility. And we haven't had enough credibility to break that whatever image that's perceived on HBCUs.
And I don't understand why, because there's been pros coming out of there. I'm talking about
Listen, that's on us.
Robert, that's the media. Tennessee State, Anthony Mason, Tennessee State, Lindsey Hunter, Jackson State, O'Quinn, Ben Wallace, Virginia Union. Like, it's been pros coming out of there. So obviously the game is better than what we're putting it out there to be. The level of talent is better. And that's why I want to have this conversation. We got to talk about it.
Let me say this real quick.
For me, what I've gathered is when you're talking about inside, you know, in your administration or in your sports department, some of those people there haven't seen other ways to do it. You know, have an opportunity to be at a PWI side and then coming over to an HBCU side, things are done differently. Their approach is at a different level because a lot of those people have come from different places, like in the coaching world, where a lot of people in HBCUs have been there for so long, they're accustomed to their role. They're accustomed to the way things are. And in their mind, it's worked. It's worked. If Norfolk State has won, you know, three in a row, or Central's won four in a row, it worked. So why do we need to change? You know what I'm saying? So, and that's tough. It's tough. And then the second thing I wanted to touch on, you guys were talking about earlier with the BCA, JB saying with the BCA, there's a lot of things out there like Top Connect. I don't see a lot of HBCUs at Top Connect. When I see it come across the Twitter page, I see one or two brothers, but they're not from HBCUs. You know, so that's where I find it tough. And as an assistant, leaving a PWI and coming over to HBCU, the question you get is, are you going to get stuck? You know, do you feel like that's a good move? But you know who that question is coming from? It's coming from us.
Yeah.
We're asking ourselves this question.
A lot of the conversation, see, why I was just one of a few guys or several guys that I reached out to up on taking the job at Texas Southern. As I said before here, I was the associate head coach at UMass. I had been there 9 years. We had success there. I mean, I think when I first got there, we won 12 games. Before I left there, we had been 12 in the country there. And we did that with mid-major guys. You know what I mean? So the work and the grind was there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Up on taking the job here, Mike Davis was the coach at the time. And I had a decent relationship with him. And so I knew the job was mine if I wanted it. But I didn't even take it right away. You know what I mean? And he was such a good guy. He held the job for me the whole summer and just said, if you find something else, I'm not disappointed. If you do, it's yours. And I think that was just a reflection on how good of a guy Mike Davis was. But also, he understood the perception. He understood the other things that I was hearing. And he I think CY alluded to it earlier. It's like a demotion, the perception. You know, when you go to HBCU. And I think
that's got to change.
Yes. Mike Davis just being in the Big Ten and being in the, I think, Conference USA and then being here. I think he knew how hard it was for him to get out of here. You know what I mean? So he wasn't going to tell me that. But he said, if the job is yours, if you get something else, fine. If not, boom. So I talked with a lot of guys, see why I was one of them. And my question was the same thing. What do they mean stuck? You know, some guys would just tell me, like, don't get stuck. That's good. Just make sure you don't get stuck. See why I was one of several guys that told me it's about your relationships. It's about you connect, you got relationships. It's not going to be a problem. And I think he gave me an example of several guys that had coached in the SWAC and gotten jobs. When I got here, I understood what people were saying. You don't really – it's one of those situations, Jeff, like you were saying, unless you are here, you're not really going to get it. You're only going to get, a piece of what people are saying, but not the reality. And so I think a lot of it is what Ahmad was saying. Sometimes you only know what you've experienced. You know, I'm sorry, somebody keeps calling. You only know what you've experienced. So that's in terms of the media relations, in terms of the, coaches. I think sometimes it's unfortunate when guys have not been outside of the league, you know, because now you start talking about budget. Like, for instance, on the road, when everything is normal, when there's no corona, the year before was the NCAA stuff and there was no tournaments, you go on the road and you go recruit. Well, a lot of times, if your budget doesn't say that, you don't get to go out on the road and network and have relationships. So I think that some of that stuff has to do with getting stuck as well. It's also about your relationships. But it would be ludicrous to say that there is not an elephant in the room and a perception that you are going to get stuck if you get an HBCU. And I do think, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be honest, I do think in spite of, I'm the same guy that was at UMass. I'm the same guy that recruited the top 25 recruit class. I mean, two of the kids just played in the Final Four that I recruited at UMass. I'm that same guy. Nothing's changed. Coach Jones is the same guy that was in the SEC. You know, Coach Woods is the same guy that was outside the league. You know what I mean? So nothing has changed, but the perception here, it does stick on your resume. And I do think if you put my resume in front of another guy, let's say for instance, say he's at a mid-major or he's at a low mid-major, and we just talk in the conference in the school, and the trajectory is okay, this is the next guy, he's hot, I need to go. They're gonna choose that other guy.
Young Ryan Price, your daddy would have never been quiet this long. Talk to me.
No, I guess I'm just listening to everybody, but the perception is not the reality of HBCU basketball. Like, I think there's really good teams. I mean, we look at this year's NCAA tournament, Texas Southern, Norfolk State, both those teams got wins in the NCAA tournament. And, they're really good players in the MEAC, SWAC, Hampton, Tennessee State, really good coaches. You got Coach Woods. You got Coach Jones at Texas Southern, B. Smith at Prairie View, Coach Molden at Central, Rob Jones. List just goes on and on.
Buck really, and Hampton has done a lot of work and don't get enough credit.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
And, you know, the thing to me is with HBCUs, you have to learn. You have to learn when you're at an HBCU, you have to do a lot with little. So, and Coach Woods brought that up, like the stuff about budget. Like, I think that's probably like one of our biggest, one of the bigger issues that we run across is budget issues. You know, from a budgetary standpoint, you know, when you're at a disadvantage, you know, when you have to do things with recruiting, as far as going out, you know, Shai said, that kind of thing. But, you know, I just think that, you know, we got a lot of things, a lot of hurdles that we've got to get over, that we continue to face, you know, as coaches. Coach Sharp said it. I think, you know, don't judge me as a guy in the SWAT. To judge me as a guy that can just be a good coach, period. Don't matter what level.
One of the other things I think that you should be talking about clearing up the perception from within. And one of the things that I've noticed and read up and studied is the fact that our athletic directors don't spend enough time getting to know the assistant coaches in the league. So it's even harder for us to be elevated to a head coaching position in our league. It hasn't been a head coach from the MEAC who started at one school and got a head job at another school since 1988. So you can't tell me that a Reggie Sharp, who's been a part of three MEAC championships, wouldn't be
worth it. Two SWAC championships too now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So let me go get him all good now.
But you're not qualified to be involved in a head coaching job in this league. You can't tell me that these guys are not. I interviewed for a job in the SWAC last year, and I was a finalist for the job. And after I didn't get the job, he hired someone from within the league. And I reached out to the athletic director, and I congratulated him because I thought that was an admirable thing to hire someone from within your league to give another young man an opportunity to elevate. So sometimes I feel like our ADs don't even respect the work that we do. So to clear it up from within, it has to be cleared up from the top. It starts from the top and it comes on down. So yeah, we got to work within ourselves, but every assistant coach on this Zoom right now wants to be a head coach at some point. And we think that we work hard enough in our own leagues that we get the respect that we need to elevate from within our own leagues.
And I want to add to Jamal, I think the exact same thing as what you just spoke. But the first thing I want to talk about is the word being stuck. You know, I have a great athletic director, Dr. Wickham McCree, that has made this job pretty good. So Jamal also mentioned earlier, maybe we don't have the money that North Carolina and Duke have, but we can compete on a money scale with some of these big Souths and these smaller leagues. So when you say stuck, I don't want to make it like all these HBC jobs are so bad. And if you get here, you stuck. Because a lot of these jobs are good jobs. So we're not going to even make the perception that we that bad ourselves by saying if we do get here, now we stuck. I don't feel stuck at North Carolina Central. Now, if an SEC school want to come give me $200,000, then that's a little different. But if it's a smaller league want to come back and give me some of the same money or a little less, because some of this boils down to your family and your lifestyle. So, but if somebody want to come to me with something that's not as good, Central is as good as a lot of these low major jobs that people tend to think is a better job. So I don't want to say stuck and use that word stuck so much because we kind of disrespecting our league too if we here and we stuck in this league. So I don't want to use that word stuck. Another thing with Jamal, you were just saying about all of our guys in this room want to be head coaches at some point. And I think everybody does, and everybody should have opportunity. But the issue that we're dealing with in Black college basketball right now as assistant coaches, we're in the Black league too long to go to the white league. But to get a head job in the Black league, they're going to get people from the white league. So they're taking – we can't get out, and we can't even move around in our own league because they're taking those people too. So I think you do got a point, Jamal, that – you know, we got to respect our own selves. Our ADs got to respect our own league to show that these guys can get it done. And that's a great point. And I feel the same exact way.
I think part of the reason that kind of happens is that Daryl mentioned earlier about winning the press conference, right? And I think part of the problem is that for coaches that are trying to move out of the mid-major level, what you really need to do is be able to win in March, right? You got to get that big upset win. You got to get to the second round of the NCAA tournament. You got to be Anthony Evans at Norfolk State and knock off number two seed Missouri, right? But when you are in the MEAC and the SWAC, there are a lot of schools in those leagues where they have to fund athletic departments by just going out and playing all of these bye games, right? And you end up going like 1-12 in non-conference. And when you have so many teams in a conference doing that, that brings down computer numbers. Those computer numbers are what they use to see teams in the NCAA tournament. And all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where it's like best case scenario is North Carolina Central is getting a 15 seed, right? And the way that you have to go out and win a game in the NCAA tournament is by pulling off a victory against a top 10 team. And that's very difficult to do no matter what level, no matter what team you're playing against. Like, there's a reason why top 10 teams are top 10 teams. And part of the reason why we wanted to do this, and part of the reason why I thought having this specific conversation and this specific podcast was so important, is because it should be on us, right? Like, one of the things that really stood out to me about that Zoom, CY, and what Turnkey had to say was that they put it on the coaches in the HBCU conferences to promote themselves more. And it should not be that way. It should be guys like me and Jeff that have a platform whose job it is to highlight the best stories in the sport, going out and finding the guys that are the best stories in the sport. Jamal, yesterday I spent the phone. I was on the phone for 45 minutes with Robert Jones. I had no idea that when he was an assistant coach at New Paltz, he coached against the team that I played for in college. I had no idea until I got on the phone and I got to talk with him. I wouldn't have gotten on the phone to talk with him if we didn't get called out for part of what happened, what was said on that search firm Zoom. So I think part of the reason we wanted to do this is because it should be, we want to be an ally, right? We want to be able to help elevate people. I want to be on the right side of history when it comes to things like this. And
I want to make change.
Doing more. I should be taking it. I should be putting it on myself. It shouldn't be on you to promote yourselves to me. It should be on me to go out and figure out who's got the great stories and elevate those people and elevate those voices and elevate those stories.
Now, it does help. Listen, Rob, it does help when SIDs call us and give us information. Yes. No doubt. We can't. We can't be on top of every school. 350 of them.
No, you're right, but I should know that the guy that is at Norfolk State
absolutely
against me when I was in, like, I shouldn't be sleeping on that. I should be aware of that. So
or don't get pissed off at the coach because the SID is not as good as you want him to be. That happens a lot too.
A lot.
You know,
a lot.
Don't
everywhere.
Don't,
wait.
That
not just
all the time. Like,
not just I've in the MEAC and the SWAC.
Sometimes, you know, SIDs don't even travel with their basketball team. You know what I'm saying? There's certain schools that SIDs don't even have a roster. So that adds on to the image.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, let's clear this up. Let's clear this up because I got to say this. And either Rob, it's like you was reading my mind. I appreciate you speaking up on this. But the word stuck. Low major and mid major basketball, I don't care if you're in the MEAC, the SWAC, the OVC, the Sun Belt, the Southern, everybody is trying to move up out of those leagues.
Exactly. So
the same perception that's at the MEAC and the SWAC, the guys in the OVC and the Southern and the Sun Belt, they're saying, I don't want to get stuck in the Sun Belt. So it's the same deal. Point number two, I was the head coach at Georgia Southern University, my alma mater. I was 43-84. In 4 years. I had to raise a lot of money every year just so the program could function. So the same issues that Black college basketball HBCUs are having, the head coach at Jacksonville State, the head coach at Georgia Southern, the head coach at Morehead State, he has to raise a ton of money so the program can function, which every year kills your record.
And but so the difference is difference is when you win at that level, and because they don't understand that you're going through the same thing, they're quick to say that you're the next hot thing. But when we win at this level, they still say, well, he can't coach. We beat Alabama 2 years ago in the NIT. People don't realize this. There's 14 Division I schools in the state of Virginia. In the last 10 years, we have the fourth most wins of any school in Virginia in the last 4 years. And there's 14 Division I schools in the state.
And JB, we got the same thing here. I mean, over the last 10 years, there's 12 Division I schools in the state of Louisiana. We got the fourth most wins over the last 10 years. And I mean,
now that's an SID problem now. I ain't trying to get nobody fired. I love everybody. I ain't mad.
Coach knows. I put time into looking that up myself.
That's an SID problem.
That's that. And Jeff, that's what we're trying to get across. We can say all this we want, fellas, and I'm just gonna be straight up with you. It's the perception, but we need guys like Rob, Jeff, to help us change this. There's no way we're gonna be able to change this ourselves, fellas. We can have all these Zoom calls all we want. Take Rob and Jeff and everybody else out of this equation, we're still at the same situation. We need them to come in and understand and judge us on being a basketball coach and the success that we're doing. Because guess what? We're still the successful ones, the ones that are successful, like some of us, we're going to get the mid-major and the high-major guys to come back and play for us.
Right.
That's the only way we're winning the league. Right. So we're doing the same thing, but we're not getting the same publicity.
Yes.
And Jeff, that's the thing. Fellas, Jeff is doing we're missing it here. Everything is about promotions. Okay?
Yeah.
Perception becomes reality. And right now, we need Rob and Jeff to help change the perception. The Black Lives Matter changed it a little bit, but here's the deal. They're talking about, you know, okay, you know, you guys, you know, high major guys, top 100 guys are considered HBCUs, right? You only get one chance to make the first impression. All our facilities ain't great, okay? Them dudes still want to be pros. So if you go, say, for instance, you take 5 visits, okay? 3 out of your 5 visits, you go to 3 HBCUs, and you go 2 to PMI, okay? Now, 2 out of 3 of those HBCUs, facilities, training facilities, all that stuff, awful. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to spread like wildfire with 1 to 2 high major guys.
Really?
Well, everybody's going to know, how is it at so-and-so? Because they've never been there. Jeff Goodman is going to ask that kid, how was those facilities? As soon as that kid says, this was none, that's awful, but this was pretty good, what do you think Jeff Goodman and Rob's going to say? So then it's going to kill the perception again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. But guess here's the deal. It ain't going to happen with the High Points and the Wofford's and the whoever's.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No matter, their facilities ain't the greatest.
Right.
But that doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? They're not even an issue. Right now, the issue is HBCUs, okay, coaches, schools, the whole 9 yards. All right. So all we need, forget facilities, forget anything else, is for Jeff and Rob and guys like them to promote and talk about us just as much as they're talking about everybody else. And that's the only way it is going to change. We can go out here and say BCA, BCA, all we want. Knock on doors, boom, 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 boom. I'm Sean Woods. I'm CY. I'm this person. But if Jeff Goodman and Rob don't say anything about it, it's nothing. It doesn't reach national news.
Mm-hmm. So how much do you guys think the lack of overall black head coaches in the game has also hurt? Because obviously you're talking about, again, not having a BCA right now. You know, guys like Nolan, like Big John, whatever, taking care of guys like you guys, you know, and everybody moving up. Do you feel like now there are a lot more black head coaches that got hired in this past cycle that may help you or not really? Or am I looking too much into it?
Jeff, Daryl Sharp, I think when you talk about John Thompson, you talk about Nolan Richardson, I mean, it was a different era because of the media, but also those guys were Hall of Famers.
Right, right.
So, I mean, those guys can say, do what they wanted at that time. They were untouchable. College football has really changed since then. If in today's world, I mean,
we don't have guys like Nolan, like John, that are Hall of Fame caliber guys. We got really good coaches. I'm not saying we don't have Hall of Famers, but those guys were in a special place.
Yeah, they could do whatever they want.
Yeah. They were secure. They had fearless security.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let me say this: the professional development part of it, I don't think is an issue. There's a lot of really good professional development deals out here. I'm on the board of directors of Step Up with Felicia Hall Allen, which is phenomenal. That I think all the coaches should be involved with. So there, even though the BCA is gone, there are professional development turnkey, and the young lady that got everybody upset last week, Katie. I mean, she started a minority coaches deal, and it's very, very good. So, you know, that's why, you know, I said what I said about turnkey. Not, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, even though I didn't agree with some of the comments. But publicity and changing the perception from inside of our own profession are the two places that we got to go. And I want to say this. I don't know where we are in time, but this is a historical conversation today. I am so proud to be on the call with the coaches that are on this call right now. I'm honored. I do think this is the first step to us making change and opening some people's eyes. And we got to keep pushing. Jeff,
I love the fact that we can have an open and honest dialogue. And I love the fact that Sean, I do. You know me. Like, that's what I want. I don't want you sugarcoating shit to me. Like, tell me.
Hey, this is a good show, Jeff, with the profanity.
Every time I screw up and I drop one, I drop one profanity. And Charlton yells at me every time. But I mean it. I mean it. Like, listen, Rob and I aren't doing this unless we want to help. I haven't done enough. I haven't. I guess I thought I had. And Daryl, you know this. One of my favorite days ever covering this sport was hanging out with Buck and Hampton and you guys the day you played Kentucky in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. I mean,
You don't want to see that.
You do not want to see that. But I'm telling you, like, I would love to come down. Now, again, it's not easy, guys. I'm not lying to you. Like, it's not easy. I'm here in Boston. It's not like I'm getting in the car and driving to any one of you, right? Like, it's not. So it's not as easy. That's not an excuse. I can certainly do it. I got to have access. I got to have a great story to be able to sell to my bosses to be able to do it.
Hey, Jeff, I got a story for you.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Why don't you, is there any way you could maybe do like a HBCU tour? I know you is several times, like I follow you on Twitter where I see where you stop it at places and you visit them during the preseason. Why don't you do something like that with HBCUs?
I would love to do it. I would love to do it.
The SWAC, you can cover all of that within a two-day, three-day span in the SWAC.
No, you're right. I mean, listen.
Same thing with the MEAC.
I haven't done that in years because I'm older and probably a little softer than I used to be. But I would love to be able to do it again and hop in the car. I mean, that was one of the reasons I did it in the Midwest, because you could hop in the car and get to a bunch of different places within a week time and get 7 or 8 practices in.
You can do it in a MEAC, I mean, in a SWAC easily.
Really?
You get from Houston to Louisiana, what, 3.5 hours?
3.5 hours, yep. You know, Montgomery from us is 5.5. You know,
hey Jeff, you guys had said something about this earlier about, you know, it being more Black head coaches now than previously. COVID kind of helped boost it up a little bit, and the Black Lives Matter helped boost it up a little bit. But I think all these young men are promoting themselves at a high level, and for us to continue to do that with your help and along with, you know, your counterparts, that it definitely put us in a good spot. But we're battling, like CY said, we're battling the same thing with all the other schools, you know, CAA, Southern Conference, we're battling the same thing. And the budgets aren't really that far apart. And it's funny because being at High Point for 7 years and then going to A&T, the athletic budget was very comparable.
Really?
It might not be now that Coach Smith is there, but prior to that, it was very comparable. You know, so the facilities, I think if you're comparing the MEAC and you're comparing the Big South from top to bottom, they're equal. You got a handful of good ones and a handful of bad ones. You know what I'm saying?
Before we're going to wrap in a little bit, but I want to give everybody a chance here. I know, Ben, how different is it for you, being that you're not in the MEAC or the SWAC, you're in the OVC at Tennessee State. How different is it for you?
I mean, we feel like we are. I mean, we get treated differently a lot of times, you know, with, you know, game situations and things like that. But Coach Collins, you know, our head coach here, he's an extremely positive guy, you know what I mean? And I can only say, you know, the teams like Belmont and Murray State, those are the teams that kind of carry our league. And when you have teams like that that's carrying our league, you get more positive media attention, positive media attention. And when I was working at Jackson State and I was in the SWAC, we need more media attention like this. It needs to be positive. You know, you can't just show a SWAC team or even Tennessee State going out and getting beat by Florida State and then never covering them again, you know, because then you're forgotten. And that's the reason why people don't know about us, is because the national attention, we don't have that. We need to get that. And that will definitely show the great coaches that are here. I mean, you can't tell me that Coach Woods, with his budget, being a great coach, getting the kind of players that he can get, if you give him even more money at a better school, you know, a school, I wouldn't even say better school, at a higher level school, he can't do even better than what he's doing now. But I mean, people have to know him. We have to see him. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's lacking at HBCUs in our profession, is we don't see each other. And I think we don't spend enough time with each other too when we're out. We don't promote each other enough when we're out.
I think part of that is on us too, because we mentioned like when in the press conference, right? Mm-hmm. I think, and I got to jump off here in a second because I got to go take my son to a practice. But the last thing I just want to say is that it should be on me and it should be on Jeff to be able to make it so that you don't have to be a 16 seed upsetting a one out of a HBCU to be able to win a press conference. I should be able to make it so that Sean Woods or Robert Jones or Lavelle Moton is somebody that that an AD can hire and be proud of hiring and not have to worry about fans or boosters or whatever it is. It should be on us. So my numbers in that group text, please, if you have anything for me, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm here. I want to be an ally. I want to help, and let me know what I can do. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Thank you. To me, guys, the reason why people on the outside don't respect as much when you win so much, like Coach Woods won a lot, Will Jones has won a lot, Rob Jones, and I know how good these guys are. I just got to give some shit. It's tough. But the problem is why people don't respect it, because they're saying you're beating each other. You know what I'm saying? That's who you're beating. So that you're not outside of this HBCU league and beat in their mind. We know how tough it is to win. But what they're saying is, hell, he good because they beat each other. I mean, that's the way they look at it. I know
you're right. You're absolutely right, because if Tennessee State beats Belmont, it's a totally different deal.
It's a whole different ball game.
It's a big deal. Yeah. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. But if we beat Norfolk or they beat, like, right. Now we beat each other. So that's why you win him, because you're the best of each other.
Yeah. No, listen, again, I think I'll take the brunt of this, because it does sound like the number one thing that you guys are saying that can be done better, that's easy to fix, the perception, is with the national media. And I'll take that and certainly do better. You know, I try to – a lot of the things that I've done over the years have honestly been for low and mid-major guys, like when I did the top assistants in the league, when I ranked the schools in every league. I try to do that because – I mean, let's face it, like, CY doesn't need the attention at Florida State. But when I do some of these things, it's with you guys in mind. But sometimes, again, I forget the perception is so different with you guys in the HBCUs as it is even with the America East. I don't look at it differently. I really don't. But I think also, like, I tell the John Becker story probably more. At Vermont, right, when he wins the league, I'm probably building that up more than I am when Will or Robert Jones or Lavelle win the league. I don't think I am on purpose, but maybe I'm doing it. I don't know. I need to be called out, I guess, more for that. And I got no problem being called out for it. Trust me.
And Jeff, let me say this. You know, I don't want to send a message out that these guys deserve something for nothing. You got to win.
Yeah.
You got to win. College basketball, every individual respects winning. But you got Reggie Sharp on the call at North Carolina Central. How many championships have they won?
Right.
I mean, they respect – it's almost like they respect the Division II national championship more than they do the MEAC or SWAC, which if you win a championship at any level, it should be respected.
Well, again, why didn't Robert Jones get a job? Like, unbelievable. Like, the dude won the league this year. There were how many 55 Division I openings this past year? Like, no disrespect to Kyle Neptune from Villanova. No disrespect to him at all. But, like, Robert Jones is from New York, right? He didn't get Fordham.
And we got and did he get interviewed?
He did. He did get interviewed.
He did get interviewed.
He did. He was in the mix. Good. He was in the mix. But you wonder how much the perception hurt him. One guy comes as an assistant coach from Villanova. Again, hey, listen, he's been a part of two national title teams. Give him credit.
That's the thing that Coach Sharp was mentioning. Went in the press conference.
Right.
You know, the guys
won the press conference.
They won a couple national championships. Right. He's been on that staff.
And you got to respect that now. He won two national titles. Totally. You got to respect that.
But Coach Jones has won sitting in that seat.
He's been in that seat. He's been in that hot seat. You know about it.
I've been there. Of winning championships and battling every single day in that seat.
But hey, listen, fellas, I'm with y'all on everything. But you win two national titles, Coach.
You know, well,
I love y'all, boys. I want to go with you on this one.
Let's take another situation. Ooh. The James Madison situation is right here in Virginia. Now, we didn't play them previously, but he didn't even get a phone call. And he's living in Virginia, coaching in Virginia every day.
And that's Mark from
Georgia Southern. No disrespect to Mark, because he did a phenomenal job this year. But we also beat them this year. So call a spade a spade. You know, so Rob, maybe not Fordham, you're right. Maybe they did win two national championships. But there are a lot of other schools that have passed by him. And he's right here locally, and they keep on going. It's not because he can't coach. Because if you spend 5 minutes with him and you talk basketball with him, you'll know that this man knows what he's doing. I'm one of his biggest supporters, man. He's phenomenal at what he does, and I've learned a lot from him working with him for the last 5 years.
Andrew, let's let Andrew get in some thoughts here. He's been listening, soaking it up from all you elder statesman. Let's hear from the young guy a little bit before we wrap on kind of your thoughts. You played at Alabama. You've only had a short experience here, at an HBCU. What do you think when you hear all this? Is there anything else that you think that can be done to help change the perception, to elevate whatever it is?
I appreciate, being a part of it. Sitting here listening to you guys, I have learned a lot. I think the more media exposure out there will help. And, a big part of it, I think, is the financial situation. You know, I go back to when I got recruited and I'm thinking about my future, what's going to best help me get to where I'm trying to get to. And if the schools aren't able to compete or to get it close, that's where the best players are going to go. We all know the schools that are the best players, they're going to win. And I think one thing that can help that is you see a lot of people, giving money to HBCUs, but it seems like a lot of it goes to the same two. I think if we can find a way to spread some of that money around to where the same four or five aren't the ones getting a lot of money, and maybe that's where something where, getting the propaganda out there, getting more media exposure will help. I think just on our level, we've got to do all we can to make sure we're creating as much value as we can for the kids. And I think that's a good way to start it.
Yeah, I mean, I need to see more of the schools. I do. I need to see the resources. I've been to some, but not nearly enough. Obviously, people when I go to games, it's more, you know, Kentucky, Kansas, Arizona. Like, those are the games now. Trust me. And you can ask anybody around here. I will, especially since my daughter actually started liking sports, I will take her to any, like, Northeastern, BU, like, any mid-major, low-major game as often as I can. But it is harder. Unless there's a great story, people want to hear, right, about Kentucky and Kansas and Duke. There's a reason they're on TV every day. I mean, there is, from my perspective, right? We still have to satisfy the consumer. And I think that's something that I always say, like, if there's a great story, it's a whole lot easier, whether it's at an HBCU or a low major, whatever it is, I feel like I can tell it a whole lot easier. If you've got a great story, I tell sports information directors this all the time. I'm like, call me with a good story. Well, you know, I don't have to come down necessarily to write it. I can write it talking to people. We can do the best thing about Zooms is you can have people on like I'm doing right now, everybody together, and do it a little bit differently. So I think, again, I'm not saying, hey, I'm not going to go out and try to find a story. I am. But it is a whole lot easier if somebody says, and you guys know your players better than anybody.
Well, Jeff, I want to touch on that. And we, it's the only thing we hadn't touched on. I want to touch on this before we leave. There are better players at the HBCU level than we give them credit.
Totally.
When I was the head coach at Georgia Southern, I went to Virginia Tech and got the first ACC win in the history of the school. A couple weeks later, Cy Alexander and North Carolina A&T came in and popped me at home. And we thought we were pretty good. So what I'm saying is this. They are better players of the HBCU leagues, and they're giving them credit. We just are not educated on them.
Right.
Just don't know them. And that needs to be addressed about the talent. I watched some of the guys that was at Norfolk State. I saw them in the tournament. I saw them go head-to-head at App State. I mean, they outcoached them, but I thought their 1, 2, and 3 was better. And I didn't think it was close.
I mean, you think about it, CY. I mean, I know Ahmad, they signed a 4-star kid this year. We got a 4-star transfer coming in this year.
Yeah.
You know, I can only speak about those that I know. I know our league. I don't know what's going on in the SWAC. But there are young men coming in our league that are excited. And one of ourselves was the fact that we are HBCU. And they were excited about the experience. The young man we took, who's a transfer from Boston, and was like, hey, man, I want that experience. I want to see something different. I want to be in an environment where I feel comfortable to be able to communicate with my coaches on a consistent basis. So there are a lot of stories, and there are a lot of great, great players, like you said, CY, that are here. And, I mean, even for us, you talk about the environment, and Andrew was saying, like, what's best for my future? In Norfolk State, in 8 years, we've had 33 guys go play professionally. I mean, but that's a story that no one knows.
Right.
But we have to continue, like you said, our SIDs have to get that out, and we have to continue to do a job of getting that out.
Yeah, you guys got my number. You do. Like, there's nothing wrong with promoting. There's nothing wrong with self-promoting. It's not even self-promoting because, again, I can't know. We can't know everybody. There's 350 teams. Again, I'm not making excuses. Trust me. But I think if you've got a great story and you know your kids better than anybody and you've got a different, unique story, those are the stories that are easy to tell. Those are the stories that can get me down there to your campus and be able to see and justify coming down for a few days and see again. That's for anybody. Like, that's not just for you guys. That's for anybody. It's hard now because the climate is different where even ESPN, everybody's cutting back. Everybody's cutting back on travel. We can't just go out. Like, I'm hoping to be able to go out in July. So you got to be able to justify now being able to get out and, like you were saying, Sean, spend a week with you guys. Not as easy now as it used to be for me to be able to just say, you know what, I'm going.
Hey, CY, I just wanted to say one thing, man. You know, you've been talking with Katie. I've had a couple of conversations with Katie as well, man. Awesome lady. You know, she's definitely been helpful you know, learning from her and speaking with her in Turnkey. But, you know, like you said, I know different words for different people. You know, some people accept things a different way, and it's a foreign language. But, you know, she's definitely a great lady. But Jeff, when you come to these campuses, you're going to be shocked at how diverse it is. People don't realize that, because they say it's HBCUs, it's a lot of diversity. We have one of the top engineering programs in college, in universities and colleges at A&T.
I got to make a run. I got to make a run through, and I'm going to try to do it this year. The only hard part this year, guys, is I got to go in the preseason. My daughter's a high school junior. I got to go where she wants to go to look at school. So I don't know how much control I'm going to have this year in September.
Jeff, make sure you come to Louisiana. Me and Coach Woods will take you to get you some fried alligator.
All right. I don't know if my daughter's going to eat fried alligator. I will try it. That's for sure.
I'm sure she'll like Nashville, Jeff. Bring on over to Nashville.
No question. No,
Jeff, make sure you get down to Hampton.
That's an easy sell.
Jeff, pre-conference, you can go wherever you want. The best time to come is in conference. So, you know, from January to March, you know what I mean? That's when you need to come check one of us out.
And the atmosphere of HBCU games, I mean, my father was a longtime college coach, mid-major, and he even says it. He coached it in the Southland for over 20 years. The game atmosphere of HBCUs compared to low mid-majors, Southland, OVC, all of that, is better.
Not even close.
It's not even close to it.
I'm going to tell you, you know, I remember CY when you came down. I think you were at Georgia Tech and you came down to TSU. Blew your mind. And Jeff, you won't find a rivalry better than A&T Central or Hampton and Norfolk. Those environments and those game days is tremendous. The atmosphere is electric. So you would actually be doing yourself a disservice by not spending a couple of hours in those environments.
All right, I'm going to do it this year. I promise I'm going to do it. It may not be preseason, like Sean said. I'm going to try to get to a couple of games during the season when the rivalries are there, when, again, I could spend some time and do it right. So, listen.
And Jeff, I'm going to take this even further, okay? Since you're taking an initiative, which we need you, I'm not going to lie to you. Sean Woods, you know, man, you go way back. So, I'm just telling you, maybe you can even do something of a service to HBCUs. And I'm just throwing this out there now.
Throw anything out there.
Okay. Maybe it may take someone like you to educate our SIDs and things like that to help. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what? I will get them all. I will invite them all to a private Zoom.
There you go.
As we're talking here, I'm thinking of other ways, and I know we got like Top Connect and things like that. Trust me, my mind's turning here of how I can start something like that and involve you guys a whole lot more than you're involved, or reach out to the Richard Sander from Top Connect and give him a little push, and some of the other people who do these, you know, Jason Belzer does one, give him a little push. Like, let's have more inclusion here and give you more opportunities to get in front of the right people. Because again, listen, I enjoyed this one. See why, how many have we done now? Is this number seven?
Seven. This seven.
I'm not just saying this, guys, because see why I know it's like, I ain't full of.
Jeff, I'm just going to be honest with you. Everybody on this panel and the rest of the coaches, assistant head coaches, they need you just as much as John Calipari needs you, as much as Bill Self needs you. We probably need you more.
We need you more.
And to be honest, I like you guys more. I don't know if this is going to air, but again, I came up as a recruiting guy. I'm way more comfortable grinding it out like you guys all do. What people don't understand is your work ethic is way better than a lot of those. And hey, CY doesn't have to work. Come on. See why I can go in the gym and get whoever he wants.
That's right. Another thing will amaze you is how creative we have to be to even stay afloat. That's where we're misunderstood.
Yeah.
When we're saying we're this, we're that, we have to be more creative than any coaches at any institution in the country. Because we have to what? We have those obstacles that we have to overcome to sell to get student athletes that are worthy, talented enough to come play for us.
You know, another thing I think that has hurt in a little bit of a way. So a lot of us, the national media people, will go to certain events in July, right? Like it's usually a Peach Jam, right? Usually a Peach Jam. Well, a lot of you guys are probably grinding it out at different events than going to the Peach Jam and watching some dude that you're recruiting maybe not get off the bench. So I think that is another avenue. To me, anytime you see me, come over, talk to me. Like I'm going to try to go to Adidas and Under Armour in Atlanta and in Georgia and Alabama that first week in July. I'm out. Sit with me. Like that's, you know, unfortunately, you know, as you get older, what do you tend to do? You go in these gyms and you see somebody you know, and what do? You sit with them as you get older, right? Like, isn't that just, but the more people get to know people, it's easier for me to go to bat when an AD calls me or a head coach calls me and they ask me about somebody. Well, I'm you know, if I've only met somebody once, I'm going to tell that coach, like, I don't know him well enough. So like the better you get a chance to know me, like Sean, it's easy for me. It's easy. I know you well. Like it's easy for me to talk when people try to talk about something that happened to you years ago. And I could say that was bullshit. Like I know Sean, I know him. Like I know his character.
The last thing, John, Jeff and CY that I want to leave everybody with is that, you know, we're not asking for nobody to give us anything or nothing like that. So this is mostly for the young coaches. Andrew, I know you pretty young. War Eagle, by the way. But I know you pretty young. But this is for the young coaches that's watching this in HBCU. If you want to get what you're worth, you got to carry yourself for what you think you're worth. So make sure you always take care of yourself and do all the things, work hard, do what you need to do in order to get to where you want to go. So I think that's the main thing is we just want what we think we're worth. But if you also want what you think you're worth, you got to carry yourself in that way. So I think that's another issue that we got to make sure that we got our grips on too. Just carry yourself the way you want to be perceived.
Listen, I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's time. It was great. Again, I hope it was helpful. You know, again, CY and I started this to try to help coaches. And in my opinion, nobody needs more help than you guys to be able to change that perception. And I think you're right. Like it starts with me. It starts with the media. And I'm going to do my part as best as I can. And I need you guys to call me out if I don't. And I need you guys to let me know what else you may come up with another idea that you're thinking of throughout the season. But reach out to me. Reach out to me. That's the biggest thing I can say is communication. And I'm here to hear anything and try to implement anything I can do to help. Because, listen, as I'm getting older, it's all I want to do at this point. That's all I want to do. And you guys, same thing. Everybody's kind of getting older and, you know, other than Andrew, who looks like he's 18, you know, everybody else is kind of getting older at this point. And, you know, you want your opportunities that you deserve. So, again, thanks for doing this. Candid Coaches Conversations. And we will see you next week.